Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, why are you wearing that Kansas hat and t-shirt? It's not college basketball season, and you're not Mike Snyder.
Oh, I know, Jim, but we're interviewing the Jayhawks, and I'm very excited!
Okay, Patrick, the week of big, massive, mammoth stars continues on Rockin' the Suburbs this week. This show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
From time to time, we interview artists, musicians. Back when we were able to get out and about, we would go to them and go backstage and talk to them in person. Obviously, you can't do that anymore, but as luck would have it, we had a publicist reach out to us and said, you know, would you guys be interested in in interviewing the Jayhawks? And we were like, the Jayhawks?
Those Jayhawks?
Yeah, we'll do that. So you're going to hear that interview over the course of today and tomorrow. We talked with them for about 50 minutes and then edited that into two segments. So you're going to hear that. And when I say the Jayhawks, I mean not just Gary Loris, who everybody knows as, you know, the front man these days of the Jayhawks, but we also had three other band members on there, Karen Grotberg, Mark Perlman, and Tim O'Regan, and all recorded over Zoom. You may notice some, you know, varying quality of the audio, but, you know, bear with us. It, you know, when you have six people on a call like this, you know, many of you have probably been on conference calls or things like that for work, and you know, the audio is going to vary, but I think it came out pretty good, and it's a fun, lively interview. And the Jayhawks have a new album coming out July 10th called XOXO. And the reason why they wanted to have everybody in on this interview was because they're billing it as sort of a truly collaborative record. Different members of the band brought songs to the recording sessions, and they worked on those, and it isn't just, you know, sort of Gary's vision. It's the whole band contributing in a more equal way.
I think longtime Jayhawks fans are going to find the album very interesting. We were lucky enough to have a preview copies, and I'll also tell you, you're going to find this interview very interesting. I think there's some peaks behind the curtain of kind of how they're working now, and they hadn't seen each other for quite a while, basically since they recorded the record. So it's a very, very interesting interview, and I want to say thank you, Jim, to your hard work and skill for pulling this together, because as you said, it was tricky. And when there's six people and one of them is me, there can be a lot of talking, and so it was no easy task to slice and dice that together. So kudos to you, and thanks from all of us in the community.
Well, thanks to the Jayhawks for being on the show. That was
very much.
That was fantastic. And so why don't we dive into this. You're going to hear the first part today, and as usual, you know, happens with these interviews, the first part generally focuses more on sort of like what they're doing right now, and then, you know, tomorrow you hear a second part where maybe we talk a little bit more about the past and, you know, some other things that you may find interesting about the band. So all right, let's press play.
Sounds good.
Roll out of this forgotten town. Had to watch my old horse drown, buried by the river, chocolate colored by the mud. When we were young, we were judged by the choices that we made. And all the time we wasted in the love, the love that I betrayed. Well, we built a dam and everything changed. Little
welcome, Jayhawks, four Jayhawks to the podcast. We're so happy to have you on. You guys are in the Twin Cities area, and you know, what are your thoughts about what's going on in the world right now?
It's in the toilet.
Yeah, it seems like a bad movie. It seems like a
I don't know. I just showed up Wednesday. I came out of New York, where I've been living for 4 months in upstate New York, where it was the hotbed of COVID. Mm-hmm. And then shit just keeps following me around. So I show up here just in time for this. And it's not about me. But anyway, it's horrible. It's all stuff that's been fomenting. Is that a word? It's been brewing for a long time. And people are tired of all this empty talk, and they feel like they don't have a voice. So it's understandable. I know there's questions about outsiders coming in and kind of stirring it up. But I mean, I think the protesters have every right and are completely on the right side of what they're doing. But then there's the other people who are taking advantage of the chaos and looting and firing and trashing things, and that's unacceptable. Well, it's not unacceptable. It's not like I have a choice. I hate when people say it's unacceptable. Well, it happens, but you know. So it's a troubling. Very sad situation. It's very bizarre because I finally came back here after not living here. So excited to be back here, and I can't see anybody, and all this is going on, and it's very strange. Yeah, very strange. I actually, Tim and Mark and Karen have been closer to what's going on than I am. I mean, physically closer.
Yeah. So how are you guys holding up? But first, let me introduce everyone for our listeners can get a sense of your voices and who's talking when. We also have bassist Mark Perlman. Hello, Mark.
Good evening.
Good evening.
That's like quite formal, you know.
Well, he's a very formal guy. He's very formal.
Is there a drummer?
Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay. Gary, you're the leader of the band. Will you tell me how to answer that question?
Not anymore. I've ceded control. I lost control.
And there's the theme of the new record. Let's start there.
That's right. Lost control. We have drummer Tim O'Regan.
Number four.
Mm-hmm. And keyboardist Karen Grotberg.
Hello.
So thank you very much. This is quite an effort getting everybody together here remotely. So we so appreciate it. Yes, I want to get into the new record and how collaborative it is. But before we get into that, so we were just talking about communities. I do have to ask Gary one other thing, which is he and I are both natives of Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I remember it was being kind of like a hard rock kind of town. When you listen to the radio, you pretty much got like Rush and Zeppelin and that sort of thing. So I wonder, where did you get like, you know, Graham Parsons and stuff like that? How did you get that growing up in Toledo?
I didn't. No, I got it all later. I mean, I grew up listening to CKLW, the Motor City, a Detroit station that was amazing. That had a lot of Motown and rock and stuff like that. And no, I never heard of Graham Parsons till I was 25 or something like that. No, I was a prog rock and a British Anglophile and art rock dude. I was not into anything rootsy until later in life. Still not into rootsy that much. I like it, but not just rootsy. I would still always be a Brit at heart, I think.
I think it's interesting when you just said, you know, you're still not that into roots music, because I think that's how people first associate the Jayhawks with, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like roots music handled in a proper way, but usually it's, you know, snap shirts and vests and kind of cliches, you know. If it's done well, it's great. Because the problem with pop music for me is it lacks some depth sometimes. So I like the rootsiness of roots music, of traditional music. I found that I love that, but I don't just go there. You know, I'll always be I'm boring myself, a pop dude. So anyway, but Toledo, yeah, go Rockets.
There you go. Okay, so let's talk about the new record, XOXO. You already hinted at this a little bit, but it's a little bit different experience, I guess, for how you put this together, more collaborative. Someone would like to take that?
I mean, for me, okay, I'll start it and then somebody take it. I mean, collaborative, I've said this a couple times or a few times in interviews. I mean, for years, I've been like, start with the live shows. It's like, I'm singing everything. And when Olsen was in the band, we kind of shared duties and I could sit back and play guitar. But, you know, when we play live, it's like, I'm singing like every song. And when Tim would sing a couple, maybe Karen would get one. And people want to hear them sing. And I'm not particularly good at writing songs for other members of the band. So that has been stewing for a long time. I wanted them to sing more. And then, you know, I had recorded a lot, a solo record, and I didn't have a big pile of stuff, and it just seemed like the stars aligned so that, that this happened, that where people contributed more, and I respect my bandmates, writing and their vocals. So, you know, it just made sense. Sorry, it took so long, you guys.
No comment.
Anybody else? My plan was that they would become more vested and write more, and then they'd have to do more of the interviews. And this is not panning out like I had
No,
heard.
It's completely.
no, Gary.
Well, it's
well. Gary makes a great point because the goal of Jim and I's podcast has always been to have the listeners eventually take over doing everything. So all we have to do is just sort of say, hey, come on in.
Now, I did tell you guys, and I told our manager, you have to direct questions directly to other people. Otherwise, they'll all sit there and wait for me to talk.
I'm just going to sit here and drink my wine, okay?
I'm going to go in the other room.
You
guys
finish that. Let me know if you need me.
Yeah, I'm going to go in the other room. I've walked away.
Yeah,
that's well, that's hey. So you,
Karen. What are you, Karen? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Bordeaux. Thank you very much for asking. You
would really?
Yeah, and also I've got a little bubbly water over on the side.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should don
at least three beverages.
Drink it a little.
Now, it's about that time.
I'll tell you guys. I listened to the record. I got an advanced copy of this record, and I listened to it today. I've got many questions about some of the songs. One I do want to ask about is the song Illuminate, which I guess Mark and Tim, is that right? You guys collaborated on this tune?
It was mostly Mark and Gary, really.
Mark and Gary, okay.
Yeah.
No, Mark and Gary and Tim.
You wrote the good part, Tim.
Thanks.
What is the good part? Because the song really changes, you know, about halfway, a little later than halfway through to this kind of really cool gallop that I love. And it starts out very Eastern, to my ears, sort of Eastern British psychedelia. Eastern Toledo with British psychedelia. Tell me about that song. I guess, Mark, tell me about that song.
Man. Well, Mark, tell me about that
song. You got to remember.
Yeah, I want to know, too.
Okay. You guys done?
Okay. No, I'll tell you. No, I'm kidding.
So what? With this record, what we had songs coming in from different kinds of... Yeah, I know. I'm already bored.
Sorry.
I can't remember the question, even. anyways, so... we had songs coming in from different, different ways. We had some songs were brought in complete, and some songs we put together. It's kind of from scratch,
okay,
with the four of us sitting around, and that was definitely one that I just kind of came in with
a brilliant idea.
Well, with a riff, you know. I mean, I'm sure it was not much different than the way that Stairway to Heaven was created, and. You know, and then you know, we, you know, it was kind of like Mad Libs. You just kind of pass it along and people added to it. And then there's songs that were brought in where somebody just had a complete song. Illuminate was, really, you know, that's why it has all those different parts to it. And I think that's something that we didn't do very much in the past we're trying to do now. That and a few of the songs, vocally, when we were starting out, especially the first two records we made in LA, you know, it was mostly Gary and Mark's, it was almost all Gary and Mark's songs, and they were singing really just two-part harmony throughout the whole song, which everybody loved. But it can, you know, sometimes you just got to switch it up a little. So I think my one contribution to those two records, Town Hall and Toronto the Greengrass, was, you know, trying to convince them to do some vocal play off of each other, like we did in on Blue, on The Bridge to Blue, and Ain't No End when we switched off verses. And because a lot of the, you know, the bands that we like The Band, for instance, that was trademarks.
So, yeah, totally.
Songs like Forgotten Town and Illuminate, we made a point of doing that. And so we said, Tim, you know, here's your part and get some, you know, go with it lyrically. And so that's kind of his creation. If you want to ask him what he was thinking when he came up with that, you can ask him. I don't know, it's all the parts that he was singing that he's...
it happens in the middle and at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about, exactly.
But it's a fun song. Illuminate was a fun song to make.
And
I think that's what this record was kind of about. Is like we really had, you know, we had a lot of fun making it. It wasn't a lot of pressure, and it's kind of just us doing what, you know, is probably the closest we've come to being able to do a sort of Beach Boys-y kind of, just have fun in the studio and do what we wanted to, without, you know, anybody down our backs.
I remember sitting around in there, working on Mark's idea and. Basically, I'm sitting behind the drums with a guitar, I'm sitting in front of the drums with a guitar, and
front of the drums.
I don't know, this thing comes in my head, and I'm thinking in terms of like a bridge. It needs to move away now from this one part that we got going on, and that's how it was. We were sitting around, knocking ideas around, and that's what came out, and it was a fun process, you know.
It's a great song. It's one of several that I've noted down that really jump out at me when I listen to the record. I've only listened to it twice. How about you, Jim? Have you listened to the record? Do you have any thoughts on particular? What did you think? Jim and I talk about music obsessively, but this is one record we got early that we haven't had a chance to talk about. So I'm really interested to see what he says.
Well, I want to engage Tim a little bit more here because it seemed like he had some of the real rockin' numbers on this album, and is that, I don't know, does that come from being a drummer, or is that what you bring to the band?
Good question.
I think those couple of those songs have been hanging around a while, and everyone's familiar with those songs in the band, and I think that's why we wanted to use them, because they were kind of peppy and moving along, you know. They had some energy, and I mean, they can chime in, but I think that's my perception. I mean, they had some energy that that we sort of needed, I guess.
I
Well, as a drummer, you want something to do, right? You want to be active. You want to really be moving things along. It's like in that thing you do. You know, the drummer wants to speed up the song, right? So when so when you have a chance to contribute a song, it's going to be a
That's cliche, but there's some truth in that. Yeah.
Well, there's somebody in the band has to write rock songs.
Yeah, I know.
Darren and I don't. So
Mark is more introspective, but I think it wasn't just because they were out tempo that we put them in there. They were great songs.
Yeah.
So, it's not like Tim's just like, oh, let's trot them out. We need a fast song. I think looking
up
your numbers.
Tim has to balance the super slow things.
Well, the looking up your numbers stuff is getting at what I love about Tim. He's got kind of a shoot yourself in the foot, kind of self-destructive, but yet cool. He doesn't want something too straight. So and each person took control of their own songs. There are our songs, but let's face it, some were more completely written. Like Tim's songs were kind of more complete than some of the other ones. But he always wanted to not have it too nice, which I liked because I can kind of get too symmetrical and nice. But anyway, he's not a one trick pony. He's very deep. Individual.
I got slow and I got fast. Two ponies.
It's like my dogs, you know. The dogs are two speeds, right? Running around crazy or sleeping. That's Tim. He's like my dogs.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Good life.
The dogs like Tim.
But as a drummer, Tim, I mean, other than practicing your drums by yourself, you must spend a lot of time trying to find that songwriting outlet with a guitar, right? Or a bass or a piano.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more into that than I am playing drums. Trying to write a cool pop song. And something that, is hooky and catchy and I'm kind of into the dog shit pop, as a friend of mine says. with the hooks and the guitar hooks and whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
the 60s kind of garage pop.
Totally.
That's,
yeah. I mean, I almost feel Tim is kind of a reluctant drummer. I mean, I think he doesn't appreciate what he can do, but I'm so jealous because I want to play drums. But for him, I think it's kind of boring for him. I'm not sure, but he's definitely a drummer who serves the song. He always wants his drums turned down. He doesn't want to take too much attention away from the song. So that's the opposite of me. If I was a drummer, I would just be so fucking over the top. It would ruin every song. Yeah, I know.
Well, that song Dogtown Days, man, that one
that's
is
a great
just
tune, man.
Great.
I love that one.
Great power pop. And
I love power pop.
It's a style that Patrick and I talk about all the time.
Yeah,
we love it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Okay, and then Karen, now, correct me if I'm wrong here. So, or educate me, I guess what I should say. I noticed you on some previous Jayhawks albums, you've had co-songwriting credit. Were those songs that you brought to the band, or were they songs that you added something to? And is that different from this record? Do you bring these songs to the band?
Yeah, it's different this record. Those other two songs, I think I had a little bit of credit on. I think that was a back of the bus when we were all trying to write a song, and I think I got some credit on, like for a line or two, you know. This one is more like I thought I'd have some new songs, and I didn't have any new songs finished, so I pulled out a couple of old songs.
Okay. Old songs from?
Things I wrote in the early 90s, probably.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, Ruby we actually played. We demoed that in our rehearsal space in the 90s, and then we actually played that live on some particular tour, mid-90s or something. I can't remember exactly what.
Ruby, where have you gone? You're
summer. The ghost of your hero, your love thought lost in war. Whistling always by your kitchen door. Lost in the mercy line, it will change.
Yeah, that's one that should have probably been on an earlier record. And I still, and it, well, it had a home, and it had a home in my car, yeah. Karen, because I would listen to it like every day in the
so
car.
After had we, a home
I still have a cassette in my stereo. But, that version is a,
yeah,
you know, but you know, record's done. Can't go back, right?
No, it feels good to have put it somewhere and then yeah. just, you know, move away from it now, you know, stop carrying it around.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, what I was going to ask is, how did it feel to revisit these songs or get them sort of the proper place, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Ruby in particular, that changed over the years. I know there's an added verse and I think the arrangement's a little bit different and definitely the way it was presented was different. I have to thank Tim for initiating the idea that maybe I should just sit down and sing and play and it was built up from there, you know. We didn't do that one live, so
okay. So did Gary come to each of you and say, I want you to contribute songs, or was it something you were asking to do, or how did that actually happen?
Gary, I think you opened the door, didn't you, Mr.
Yeah.
Gary was pretty much announcing it in the press.
Yeah.
When we were touring the Mr.
Yes.
Bruce Rush.
Yes, I did.
Yes, it's kind of a,
it just seems
basically saying, I'm done, I've had it, I don't have anything left.
Yeah.
And the rest of the band
this is true.
To, have to step yeah. up their game a little bit.
I have nothing left. I'm tapped out. No, it feels good. Yeah, no. It feels good. I mean, I feel a little guilty about it not happening sooner, but I'm a control junkie, and but it really started with the live thing where I'm just like, God, these guys are not singing enough. I'm just singing everything. And I don't want to write songs for them. I'm not good at it. And so I went from there, but.
Yeah. And Mark, or whomever, how did you guys feel about that? Was it something that you had been itching to do? Were you apprehensive about it at all?
Well, I knew that everybody had songs in their pockets, back pockets. So I wasn't worried about any lack of material.
Yeah.
We already kind of knew that was going to happen. I think maybe I really wanted to go to try to have stuff more of a collaborative thing going on a few of these songs where we really try to create it beforehand. So we had, like I said earlier, we had these songs kind of come in from all different ways of or origins. I think that's kind of what makes that record interesting to me.
Man, it's not all cut and dry, kind of. I mean, everybody, it's not everybody. I mean, like, Tim, you're more protective of your songs. You're not that good at letting people into your own songs, but you're really good at contributing to other people's songs. Like, you had so many good ideas. And same with Karen, where you guys had lots of great ideas and were really, I love that you guys were so collaborative in what we brought in. Like especially Mark and my songs, where I just like I listened to your. It's not easy. I want to just control everything, but I found the ideas were good, and it's a process. I don't know what the next record will be like. I don't know if it'll be more collaborative or less collaborative. It's not. There's not a template now. We don't know, but
yeah, that's interesting, Gary, because I think however it happened, I'm glad it did, because I really enjoyed this record, you know, quite a bit. Maybe not just the special feeling of having an advanced copy.
Well, you've only listened to it
yeah,
twice.
Yeah, that's right. But listen to me, I'm telling you, it was really good. But what I want to ask you, Gary, is this is kind of interesting to me, like, so you never ever just want to relax and just be the guitar player, or
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's not so good for publishing rights and stuff, but I would like to be.
Oh, right. There's that.
Yeah, I know. But I don't care about that. I'm independently wealthy. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But it's not that. I love sitting back and just playing guitar. I miss some of that. I do miss that. Just like being like the Keith guy, yeah. Like the guy's kind of the
Peter Buck.
I always liked that in the old days. I could kind of step up and do this stuff, and I could sit back and just play guitar. Now, the future hold is this. Let the best song mm-hmm. win. So if people are writing great songs, we're not all going to have equal disbursement of songs just for the sake of it. But if everybody brings in cool songs and let the best song win, I'm really not into just doing it so I have all the songs. I really don't. But I will always think of what's going to be best, the best Jayhawk record. But I have public faith that you guys are going to write more songs, better songs, and keep going. Because I'm hoping that this is the beginning of you guys writing more songs.
We've been together for a long time,
yeah.
So we don't have a problem working with each other. We're not trying to figure it out. There's things like Gary and I like to write lyrics together. That's one of those things. Not a lot of people like write words together.
I think we're better.
And Tim, Tim has he's I call him the bridge guy. He's always got a great bridge to throw in there. Everybody needs a bridge guy or a gal.
Take it to the bridge.
And Karen just writes the stuff that everybody just drops. They hear it the first time, they just kind of their jaw kind of drops. And I think she's waiting for people to clap, but they're just more like kind of wow. So everybody's got their own little thing they bring to the table.
Yeah.
But we also all I think have a lot of. Songs that we all brought in songs that we didn't put on this record. So I think maybe the future might be maybe worry less about recording a record and more trying to get everything we have.
Mm.
Now, in this day and age, I mean, I think you
That's
can record. You can
mm-hmm.
record, it's not that hard to record.
No,
stuff like it.
Not at all. Yeah.
Right.
I was talking with George DeCoulias. I haven't talked to him for ages, and who produced Hollywood Town Hall mm-hmm. and Front of the Green Grass.
Yep.
He called just to see how we were, how the riots were going for us and everything, and which was really nice of him. But we're talking about, making those records, and it was such a production back in the days when this whole thing with the studio and money and time and tape and you don't have the technology you have and using razor blades to edit with and all that. You don't have to do that anymore. So I think we just need to get in that mindset of recording and trying to get everything down because who knows tomorrow.
Exactly.
So totally. I think that's kind of what the future is.
our thanks again to Gary, Karen, Mark, and Tim from the Jayhawks. That was a fun conversation, and you're going to hear more of it tomorrow. More, Patrick.
More. It's just more. How can you be angry about that, Jim? That's right. Going to be great. And definitely want to say thanks to those guys for all getting together at the same time and getting all the computer stuff together and jumping on. And, you know, we are very appreciative of that. And I think it's a very important American band. And I hope people really enjoy the new record. I have been listening to it quite a bit. I feel very lucky to have an early copy. It's been a long time since I've gotten a good, solid early promo, you know, with a few weeks ahead of everyone else. So it's a good feeling. There's a couple singles out you can sample, but there's a lot more behind those two. So if you're a Jayhawks fan or anybody who appreciates good American music, you're going to like this.
So let's move on to part two tomorrow. Of course, if anybody would like to comment all about the Jayhawks, I'm sure I know a lot of our listeners are big fans and probably have stories and other matters they'd like to, you know, explain in detail. So you can call. We prefer it if you call and leave a message and we get your voice at 612-440-1984. Or if you'd rather, you can email rock@suburbspod or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. All those at Suburbs Pod. All right. And then also, shout out again, the new Jayhawks album XOXO comes out July 10th. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
I'm going to move back to North Carolina. Fuck you guys.